is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Just making his life tough, Dave. Matt's trying to get the perfect volume, and Dave's messing with him behind the scenes here. It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. Tuesday edition of the program. It's an abbreviated show. Once again, we got World Series action coming up a little bit after 5. We'll turn you over to the Dodgers and the Rays. Before all of that, though, our player spotlight at 3:30 will feature Puna Ford. So that conversation coming up, John Clayton at 4 o'clock, and El Hombre, Michael Bradley, joining us at 4:30. So we were going to come in today and talk about potential options out there for the Seahawks to bring in to help with this defense. You know, we were exchanging emails last night, and, you know, it's the usual suspects we've talked about, you know, whether it's Clay Matthews or Everson Griffin, who yesterday the news was out there that he was available, and they were open to trading him, and a couple other names. But Griffin's off the board already. Cowboys traded Griffin to the Lions in exchange for draft pick compensation, so he's no longer an option. Schefter reporting that it was a conditional sixth rounder that they gave up for him, for Everson Griffin.
Wow.
What is he making, like, four?
I think he signed a $6 million deal this year, so you're responsible for whatever's, so a little more than half of that.
Prorated amount.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll get into this, and I know you think it's both. They're all complicit, is what you...
I think that's fair, isn't it? I don't think it's all bad players that are overrated. We thought they were better than they were, and I don't think it's all Ken Norton. I think it's a legitimate combination of the two.
Yeah, I guess to me, what I spent last night was just like looking at certain plays and what they're not getting done. So, and I'll kind of, you know, divulge. I did a little football 101 thing about, and the guy I looked at was Jordan Brooks. I've said this way too many times. Very promising. Very promising. But he made a couple of really good plays that other guys are not. So it just... it's just weird. I mean, I guess I don't see this glaring lack of talent. I feel like they're trying to play it safe defensively, and that they, you know, that they could have been. And I know Jake said that. We asked Stacy about, you know, Jake Heaps, and I thought, especially, you know, on that last drive after they got the interception in overtime, you know, like, just be super aggressive, you know, try to... you can't just lay off and let them get, you know, 8 yards, 10 yards. But, I mean, look, they're playing to what I think they think their strengths are. So that's the thing that I think is maybe make your case, Bob, is that they don't think they can play aggressively. They don't think they have the talent to play aggressively defensively. So they're just trying to kind of lay off a little bit and just play to the strength of what they have. And their strength is... they have taken the ball away. Now, they lost, what, they got two the other day, but, you know, they lost the turnover battle. Mm-hmm. So, and they're like 70-14 when they win the turnover battle. So, you know, that's a huge deal. That's their strength. Their strength is they take the ball away. So, I think they think, okay, well, we're just going to keep it in front of us, and then we'll get opportunities to take the ball away. That's who we are. But we're not going to play aggressive, you know, blitzing like the stuff that that Arizona was doing, which is interesting to me because, I mean, you could do it that way, but that's just not their theory. I don't know that Arizona's defense is that much more athletic than the Seahawks, is it? I mean, you saw those.
They're a lot more effective. I mean, going into that game, they were second in the league in points allowed. So whatever they're doing was working for them.
Right. Yeah, and they're being aggressive with the players that they have, but I don't know that they have that. Not much more, you know, I mean, you look at some of those guys were like backup linebackers that were getting hits on Russell Wilson. Well, the one guy, Gardeck, and who was the other guy, 51, Vallejo. I mean, those are the guys. He was the one that got that huge hit on Russ. That guy's a backup linebacker, mm-hmm. you know, but they're up there on the line of scrimmage. They're pulling some guys back. They're rushing other guys. They're doing all kinds of aggressive things where you can get burned. And, you know, and that's the thing, you know, I thought originally like, hey, bring it on for Russ, you know, but then he had a little bit of an off night and ends up throwing a pick in that situation, you know, in overtime where they're pressuring him and all of a sudden the guy bails and he throws it right to him. So, yeah, it was just to me, that's what makes me think that it's not so much about, you know, about talent, that it's much more. I mean, that guy, Vallejo, Tanner Vallejo, I mean, he's not some great player.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I feel like.
So that's coaching then?
Well, I mean, I think that they're coaching it to what they think is going to, you know, what their strength is. So, I don't know. There's maybe like a lack of trust. You know, we saw that and we a little bit, I thought, last year of that, you know, they didn't trust the rookies and, you know, they kind of were really safe with those guys, didn't play them that much, and they're just trying to be really safe on defense. They have something going on offense, and that's just kind of how they were going to win their games. I don't know how – I mean, I think we'd be complaining. I don't know how much of it has to do with the fact that this has been a defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
And that they've been so good defensively and had such great numbers, and that now they're historically bad as far as the stats go.
Yeah, it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not getting anything in between, Jim. It's like, you know, they were setting records and you know, considered one of the greatest defenses historically speaking. And now you're looking at another historical figure, but it's in the complete opposite direction.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate what Dave's saying. He's been out there. He knows defenses. I just, when you talk about historic numbers, and that's what we're talking about here with the Seahawks, it's something needs to change. And, you know, what if they're not going to change Ken Norton, then change what you're doing. And, I mean, if this is the strength, sitting back and playing everything in front of you, they're at a historic rate playing to their strength. So what the heck? Let's go to a weakness then. Let's go ahead and you know, have a casino blitz every now and then. Is it going to get worse? I don't think so. I mean, you look at this, all these different numbers. I was looking at more numbers today. There are 15 teams that have played 7 games, and the Seahawks have played 6. 15 of those teams have allowed fewer yards than the Seahawks defense has, and they played one more game. So, you know, I mean, whatever. If I'm Ken Norton, I'm Pete Carroll. Hey, you know, this is what we think is going to work the best. We feel like we can get takeaways doing this. Now, maybe it'll help with Snacks Harrison coming back. Jamal Adams, I mentioned yesterday, we love his energy, and we know what a great player he is. He's the best player on that defense. But he didn't really make that much of a difference statistically in the first 3 games compared to when they played without him. So you like to think that that's going to get better when they have more continuity and they're more familiar with each other. Michael Kendricks, he might come in and help too, but – I mean, come on. I just, and you look at Everson Griffen going to the Lions for a 6th-round pick. I know the Seahawks don't have much in the way of draft picks next year. They've only got a 2nd-rounder, a 4th-rounder, a 5th-rounder, and a 7th-rounder because they traded a 1st and a 3rd for Adams and then a 1st in 2022. And it's not like you're going to be trading a 1st-rounder to get one of these guys. But when you see that, when you see Everson Griffen going to the Lions for a 6th-rounder, you're thinking, okay, Schneider, let's go. Let's go. And the other part of it, and I'll stop rambling here. Just roll the dice. Let's go. Roll the dice and be more aggressive. I don't see how this is working, what they're doing. So try something different. That it's the same thing last year when they played so much base defense and they talked about it was the lesser of 2 evils, I guess. We talked about that last year, but it wasn't good. Both evils weren't good. And what they're doing right now isn't good at all.
Maybe one was more evil than the other, though.
I know. I just shake my head at some of this stuff. And I, you know, Pete Carroll thinking that Daryl Taylor might make a difference, huh?
I'll be surprised if we see Taylor. Honestly speaking, I'll be surprised if we see him this year. And if we do, I don't think it's fair to expect anything from a rookie who's missed this much time. Obviously, he's had nothing under his belt in the way of preseason games or anything like that. Hey, I mean, this is a fresh start. This is game one for him. Whenever he shows up, I don't expect a thing from the guy. If he gives you something, it's absolute gravy. So I don't even put him into the equation of, you know, hey, help is on the way. He's out of that conversation for me. Rasheem Green, I think, is an average player. I know he led this team last year. It was 4 sacks. We're setting the bar really low for Rasheem Green. I think he's an average player at best. I think he can help a rotation, help spell some guys, but do I expect massive production? No, I don't. They just don't have that guy. He doesn't exist on this roster. And I think you've got to do your – and I don't know that he exists out there, by the way, either. And we'll throw out some names of players they could potentially go after. You know, listen, you're not going to get Aaron Donald. You're not going to get, you know, Chandler Jones-style player. That guy's not available right now. But you could get somebody that could at least be a presence, maybe attracts enough attention to open things up for the other guys, you know, on some level.
Maybe Harrison will be that guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping too. And Pete keeps talking about what a good football player he is, you know. And then we heard from Puna, or we'll hear from Puna, about, you know, good teammate, everything. I know that stuff doesn't matter what we're talking about, but still, yeah, maybe that's it. I saw Brandon Son of Augustafson, which he is a man after my heart. I love Jacob Martin, but he's talking about possibly bringing back Jacob Martin. Does that really help us? I mean, is that, you know, those
what's
are the,
he doing? He's got like 2.5 sacks or something like that this year.
Yeah, he had a sack in the very first game, and then I think he's got 2 sacks, forced fumble, a couple quarterback hits. He had 3.5 sacks and a forced fumble and 7 quarterback hits in 14 games last year. So yeah, I'd love to have him back, but I don't think that he's like a difference maker.
What about Kerrigan? I don't know what's going on. People saying he's not playing much in Washington, even not playing much. He's got 4 sacks. Last year was the first year he didn't play 16 games. Every year of his career, starting in 11, he's played 16 games. He's had sack years of nothing. He's never had less than 5.5, and that was last year with 12 games. But 7.5, 8.5, 8.5, 13.5, 9.5, 11, 13, 13. I mean, he's a sack machine. I don't know what's going on with him, but again, even if he's not playing much, he's got 4 sacks this year. And yeah, if he's had a favor there, I understand there's some salary attached to him. You're going to have to make – if you make a move, you're going to have to move salary around for basically any of these guys, right? Whether it's you're going to trade Jacob Hollister or you're going to move somebody else, you're going to have to finagle the salary cap, mm-hmm, regardless of who you bring in here. So just looking at – we talked about Carlos Dunlap. We've talked about Clay Matthews. I like Clay Matthews, but who knows what kind of condition he's in right now and how long it'll take him to get up to speed. I like Kerrigan as an option personally. Griffin's off the board. Maybe there's a player that's available on a Cowboys roster or a Falcons roster, one of these rosters, the Jets, who are unloading everything perhaps. I don't know. But of the names that we know are available, he's the one that seems the most intriguing to me.
Yeah, I guess I just feel like that if you go and get one of those guys, I mean, first of all, if these guys were that, you know, good of players, they'd be signed by now, right? I mean, these are kind of the second-tier guys.
I mean, like, Kerrigan's on Washington.
Yeah.
He's not a free agent. He's not hanging out there.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about, like, with
but Matthews,
yeah,
you're
Matthews,
right.
Matthews.
Yeah, Matthews, yeah, is out there, certainly. And but right. Dunlap's on a team. Kerrigan's on a team. They're just unhappy where they're at.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, do you push the panic button when you're 5-1?
Yes.
And you lost by 3 points?
Yes,
in
with
overtime.
That defense, with that defense, I think you do.
Mm.
Because they're not going to continue winning at the rate they're winning at. They will later in the season when they face the Washington football team and the Jets and Giants on consecutive weeks. But this stretch that they have coming up where they face the 49ers this week and then they're at Buffalo, at the L.A. Rams, and they play Arizona again. I mean, right now with that defense, I think they'd be lucky to go 2-2 through that stretch. So, yeah, I would think. And these names, I don't get all that excited when I look at these names. And yet I'm thinking, well, what could it hurt? It certainly couldn't hurt anything. Go ahead and bring Kerrigan in or Carlos Dunlap. He was unhappy in Cincinnati. Maybe he'll be happy here and maybe he'll rejuvenate himself or whatever. I mean, most of these guys on the list, even though we're not all that excited about them as pass rushers, quick fix, what the heck? Bring them in because they're – probably better pass rushers than what you have right now.
Yeah, I guess to me it's not a panic button moment. I mean, look, there's lots of things I feel like that they can fix still. But, you know, and again, you know, like Benson Mayoa, to me, I mean, he's kind of on par with all of those guys we're sort of talking about. The way he's playing right now anyway. I mean, I think he's playing well. He's doing little things that – you know, make a difference. But
Dave, couldn't he be a better player if you brought in a Kerrigan and a Dunlap where some of the attention of the offense would have to go on to those guys and maybe Mayo would be even better as a result?
Oh, I don't know, because you're plugging him into this defense and, you know, I'm not, they're just not being aggressive. You know, they're not. So, you know, we heard this a lot like last year that they were playing lots of two gap, which means you come down the middle of a player. I don't know if you can remember the one play where Bobby Wagner, the one I was complaining about where there was two guys on the outside gap.
Yeah.
And Bobby comes up and there's a big offensive line and he's trying to just play both sides of him. And, you know, there's, you know, we've heard that they've played kind of that way. It's just, it's more of a kind of a softer way of like, hey, we're going to make a tackle. It's going to be 2, 3, 4, 5 yards downfield, but we're not going to shoot a gap and leave a big, huge gap open. So, I mean, now you're plugging those guys into this system. I mean, does that make a huge difference? I'm not sure if it will.
It couldn't hurt. It certainly couldn't make it worse. And again, well, perhaps it's somebody that draws more attention to open up something for somebody else on that line.
Well, here's the thing that it would hurt, though. You know, and you always have to ask, okay, well, at what cost? Right? So you're talking about salary cap. You're mm-hmm. talking about other players. You're talking about draft choices that you are, you know, mortgaging away or gambling away from in the future. And you're 5-1 right now, even though the defense is historically bad. You're 5-1. Do you push the panic button and go and start making trades and bringing in all these guys? And you know, are these guys like Jamal Adams type of category? No, they're not.
No.
But, you know, you might have to pay too much or spend too many draft choices to get a guy in here that you're going to plug into a defense that might not make a difference.
Yeah, but don't you feel like you kind of need to take a gamble and do that anyway, Dave? And I say that just because of the offense, how explosive it's been. Russell Wilson having an MVP type season, and you don't want to look back on the 2020 season and go, like, if you're Schneider sitting there maybe with his grandkids someday going, man, you know, I wish back in 2020 I'd done a little more to help out that defense. And again, I know that we're used to having a really good defense here in Seattle. That's been a Pete Carroll trademark, but it's fallen off the face of the earth here. It's gotten so bad that you don't even recognize what's out there anymore, and you don't want it to blow the entire season, and I think they're in jeopardy of doing that.
Well, and yeah, 5-1, you look at it and go, well, why would you be panicked about that? You're in first place. You've lost one game. But I think if you're being realistic, you look at those five wins and say, well, four of those could have been losses. I mean, it came down to the wire. It came down to having to make that one last play. I mean, it wasn't as if they were winning comfortably and, hey, they had a bad night. I would be on board with that. Hey, nobody panic. They had a bad night and nobody goes undefeated. You move on to the next game. But there was concern when they're winning these games. If you're being objective about what you were watching, the offense was absolutely carrying this team. And they will continue to do that. And as we talked about, we saw in this game, they can ill afford an off night. They can ill afford mistakes on offense because the defense cannot pick up the slack. So I think, just to answer your question, Dave, 5-1, you're absolutely right. They're in first place, but I think it's a soft 5-1. I think it's a shaky 5-1 where you could very realistically make the argument they could be, you know, 1-5 or 2-4, whatever you want to say.
Because you could almost look at them like the Bears. Remember, everybody was looking at the Bears going, they're 5-1, but they're not that good. And people were right last night after the Rams took care of them. But I don't think the Seahawks are a version of the Bears, but boy, their defense sure needs some work.
Yeah, and 2-5, you guys can text in, by the way, 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. 253 says, tell Jim to relax. The defense will get better.
Well,
really?
Why
would you say that?
Yeah, the 253, what makes you think it's going to get better? I guess, you know, Adams coming back. I'll answer for the 253. I guess because Adams is coming back, Snacks Harrison, Michael Kendricks, Rasheem Green, you add those guys to the mix, and then if they're playing together, maybe that will make a difference. But it just doesn't seem to me like the personnel they have and even the additions that they're making here is going to make a big difference. We'll see. I'm hopeful, though, with Harrison. Not so much. And of course you're hopeful with Adams because you know what he can bring, but I'm not as hopeful with Kendricks. I mean, that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think he fits. I don't know where he's at physically. We'll have to wait and see. He's been a very good player for this team in the past. I don't know that at this point, coming off a serious injury, that he comes in, he's an automatic difference maker, but he could be a step up from what they've got there currently. So every little bit will help. I'm not advocating for massive sweeping changes and you bring in a bunch of players. I'm looking at one of these guys. I'm looking at one of the names we're throwing around out there. Maybe there's somebody they're looking at we're not even considering.
But what do you think that's going to do?
Do you think
it'll go from 500 yards to like 475?
No, I think it can only help, couldn't it? I mean, if you bring in a Kerrigan, you bring in a Dunlap, you bring in Matthews, and again, we'll see how they fit. I just can't. I guess what would bother me as a Seahawks fan is to watch this organization look at an offense that may be the best in the history of this organization when it's all said and done, and not address a massive shortcoming, a shortcoming that is so massive that it may prevent you from winning a Super Bowl, and saying, well, we did everything we could. We addressed it. We brought in Jamal Adams. We brought in Matthews, Dunlap, or Kerrigan, or one of these guys. It didn't work out, but, man, we took it. We went down swinging. You got to go down swinging, man. You got to fight for this season.
There was a season, if I recall, Bob, maybe you do, when at the trading deadline, the Mariners didn't make a move, and everybody thought that they were going to make a move, and it seemed to have a negative impact in the clubhouse. I think it can be an uplifting thing to a team when you see that your general manager is trying everything in his power to improve your team, and then if you don't get that done, it could maybe have a negative impact too.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about this right now. Let's take two.
It's time to take two. Brought to you by Infinity of Tacoma at Fife.
Take two. World Series Game 6 is tonight with the Dodgers leading 3-2. Tony Gonsolin and Blake Snell are on the mound for their teams. The Rays got the win the last time this duo faced off in Game 2.
Yeah, that'll be coming up here on 710 ESPN Seattle just after 5 o'clock. We'll send you out there, but it's been an entertaining series. I know a lot of people are tuned out to baseball, but if you're a baseball fan, I think you've enjoyed this series. If you don't have a rooting interest like me, I'm just enjoying baseball. I want it to go 7. So I want the Rays to win tonight. I want the Rays to win and have it come down to a dramatic Game 7.
Yeah, same here. And still rooting for Zunino.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, I saw he has 25 strikeouts in the postseason.
He's
batting like 160. But he had a couple of dingers that he hit, you know, he's
hit him real far.
Hit him far.
They'll only count as one dinger.
I still think they should count as two.
The distance should account for something.
I'll tell you, that game, that Saturday night game with a Rosarena coming around to score and going back and forth doing the cartwheel, flipping over and then coming back thinking he was going to get in a pickle. And then when the catcher dropped the ball, scoring and slamming his hand on home plate. I rarely get all that excited watching a baseball game, but I was yelling for the Rays and just getting all fired up. And, yeah, I'm pulling for Blake Snell and the Rays tonight to force a Game 7 just like you guys.
The Rams easily defeated the Bears 24-10 on Monday Night Football last night. They sacked Nick Foles 4 times and had 2 interceptions.
Yeah, the Bears didn't do much to dispel the idea that they were a soft 5-1. Going into that game, right? There was a lot of criticism, and it turned out to be true in terms of what people were criticizing. They weren't criticizing the defense. They were talking about the offense of this team, and it didn't look good last night. And you got to give the Rams credit. They did what they needed to defensively. They've got some great players out there, did just enough offensively, and it was a pretty uneventful game. I mean, looking at the Bears, you didn't walk away going, I can see how they'd be a problem. They'd be a problem for you. They look like, kind of mediocre.
It's disturbing. They held the Bears to 280 yards of offense. And, you know, you look at Aaron Donald had a half a sack. Floyd got 2. They're playing defense in the NFC West right now.
Yeah.
Matt Nagy was a little disturbed after the game because the defense outscored their offense. Because they scored on a fumble 6, a fumble return. So,
yeah. I like that.
Fumble 6.
Yeah. The Rams, it's so hard to get a handle on some of these teams in the NFL, all of them actually, because you looked at the Rams against 49ers, you thought, they're not that good. And then see them last night and you think they're going to really challenge the Seahawks for that NFC West title.
All right, coming up, it's time for our player spotlight. We'll sit down, have a conversation with defensive tackle Puna Ford about his forced fumble Sunday and everything else going on in preparation for the 49ers. That is coming up next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore here on 710 ESPN Seattle. It's time for our player spotlight. Joining us now, a member of the Seahawks defense, Puna Ford is with us. Puna, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How y'all guys doing?
We're good. I'm curious what the feeling after this game. I mean, this was a crazy game, and they always seem to be crazy games when you go to Arizona take on the Cardinals. But did this feel different? Was there more frustration attached to this one? What was the mood like after this game?
It was You could, you know, everybody left it all out there on the field, you know. But it was just, you know, it didn't turn out in our favor.
Hey, Puna, I want to ask you a couple of questions about plays that you were involved in. One, you ran a really nice stunt now down near the goal line, and then Jaron Reed had a chance to come around and possibly get a sack for a safety. But, boy, Kyler Murray, is he maybe, of all the quarterbacks that you've faced, the most elusive? He's difficult to get down on the ground.
Yeah, man, it's kind of annoying. But, he's real elusive. But, you know, it's just we knew that coming into this game. You know, we had a rush plan going to try to keep him from trying to scramble because that's, you know, every scramble, he averages 11 yards per scramble. And, you know, we wanted to cut that down.
Yeah, so you guys were just maybe almost just trying to contain him a little bit. I mean, was it drastically different from how you rush other quarterbacks as far as how your stunts went and things like that?
Yeah, because you like with a quarterback like that, you know, you really want to be cautious with how you rush him. You know, you don't want to leave open gaps in the pocket to give him room to escape and stuff. You know, we just was trying to keep him confined in the pocket and not let him run around.
Well, and also I saw you were out there quite a bit, man. Played a lot of snaps, but the play where, you know, out on the edge, they turn it back in. You're able to run out there and make a force a fumble, and then I saw you over on the sidelines getting some oxygen afterwards. I mean, that was a great play. Take us through that.
Yeah, I was already tired before that, you know, but I had to suck it up and just do the best I could.
Puna, when we look at this team after every game and talk about what went well, what didn't go well, and obviously the defense isn't where you guys want it to be this season. When you guys go into the film room and you look at it, is it confusing to you? Are you guys going, man, you look at this roster, you got guys like you and Bobby and KJ and Jamal. I mean, it's such a feels like a stacked defense, yet maybe not the results you're looking for. Is it easy to put your finger on what's going wrong, or are you guys kind of scratching your head going, man, we should be a lot better than what we've been doing?
I mean, I said like this. It's like we know what we're capable of, but like the only thing, we got to do the little things, you know, like all week, and it starts with practice and preparation, and we just have to keep doing the little things right.
How much of it, too, Puna, is you guys are all kind of coming together. You know, Benson Mayoa's new, and a lot of guys have gotten injured and been in and out. You lost Bruce Irvin, and it seems like, you know, just getting a chance to play together would really help you, and it seems like, you know, that maybe that might be part of it, just getting used to your new teammates.
Yeah, I mean, we all got a pretty good feel for each other, and, you know, we've been on the field. You know, we didn't have OTAs this year. And we've been on the field together for since August. And, you know, we still got work to do. And we know what standard we're trying to set and what goals we have as a defense. But, you know, we just all going to have to come together and just keep working at where we want to go to.
Have you had a chance to catch up with Snacks Harrison, talk to him a bit?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I talk to him every day.
What kind of guy is he? I mean, different interviews, seems like a fun guy. Obviously, he's been a great player in this league. But just talk about the kind of guy he is and what he may bring to this defense.
Man, he's just like a real good teammate. You know, he always get a smile at you or a laugh out of you. You know, me and him crack jokes a lot. But, you know, he brings that veteran, that savvy veteran to the D-line room. And I'm just looking forward to getting out on the field and just, you know, getting reps with him.
Hey, Puna, you know, one of the things about being a pro is taking care of your body, and something you have to pay attention to a little bit more as a pro than when you're in college and high school and everything. What are the things, like, take us through on a Monday and Tuesday during the week. What do you do to take care of your body?
Oh, man, I just had like a little workout, and like before that, like I came in and I contrasted, I did hot and cold tub before I went to lift and stuff, and now I got acupuncture and I got a massage today, and then like tomorrow I go to my chiropractor and stuff like that. And it's like, it's really a lot, though, but, like, it's really necessary. And, like, that's just, that's one of the other things I'm, like, starting to understand now. When you're young and stuff, you know, your body, like, bounces back real fast. But, you know, playing with grown men out there, you know, you need to do the things that's necessary to keep your body right.
Well, even if it means sticking a bunch of needles in your body, is that something that you had, have you gotten used to that, or had you ever done acupuncture before?
Yeah. Yeah, it really had.
Okay.
Imagine if you had that in your day, Dave, you might have played a couple more years, huh? All this.
I don't know if I'm letting people put those needles in my body. Does that hurt?
No.
It's not that bad. Well, it depends on how bad you're hurting in that area. If it's like hurting for real, then yeah, it might make you jump off the table.
Yeah. Well, Puna's a much bigger guy, so it takes a lot more needles for him. So, hey, Puna, when you look, when do you start really focusing on your next opponent? The 49ers are a team that have been absolutely ripped by injuries, yet they're finding ways to win, and they seem to be pretty formidable. Do you have a feeling about this team yet, or do you wait till middle of the week before you start really looking at their film?
Well, today we're really gonna watch last night's game, make the corrections and put it away, and then, you know, on to the next, and then we're just gonna start working on San Fran.
Hey, Puna, during on Tuesday, now I know it's different this year with COVID-19 and everything, you can't do as many things, but what would you typically do, you know, on your day off on Tuesday, before all of this happened, and now how different is that? Are you just staying at home? Are you coming into the facility? What are you doing on your day off?
I still come into the facility. You know, we all meet every Tuesday morning. We all meet as a D-line. And, you know, we'll watch film on who we're playing that week and just start to prep. And, you know, just watch film, basically. And then, like, I go to the training room. You know, take care of my body some more and just make sure I'm right for that week.
Hey, Puna, as far as, you know, the off season goes and everything, as Dave said, obviously it was a very different off season with the pandemic. But did you have goals set in mind? Was there something coming off of last season you said in your mind, all right, I want to work on this, whether it's strength or conditioning, or I want to work on my run defense? What, anything in particular that you isolated?
Really conditioning and, you know, pass rush stuff. But really, not even say that, but that's just the two of the main things I focus on. And I wanted to lose a little bit of weight.
So what kind of, workouts are best for D-linemen? I mean, do you guys still bench press? Are you doing power cleans? And what kind of lifting are you doing during the season that's the most important for a D-lineman?
You know, we do bench, and we squat a little bit. And then we just do stuff to, you know, make sure – Like all our, like, not joints, but, like, we just do stuff to make sure, like, to keep the maintenance up on our bodies and stuff like that, so we'll make it through the season and stay healthy.
Well, Puna, we appreciate you taking the time after a tough loss. We obviously wish you nothing but the best, and hopefully we're talking about a win after the San Francisco game. Thanks so much, man.
No problem.
There you go. There's Puna Ford. The Seahawks Player Spotlight is brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer. Coming up, there's another position group on this team we haven't discussed much, but there's some concern around it. I'll tell you what we're talking about next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
A reminder, you've got radios in your homes. If you've got a smart speaker, just tell it to play 710 ESPN Seattle or 710 AM. It becomes a radio right there for you. We got the professor, John Clayton, joining us at the top of the hour, so stay tuned for that. Our thanks to Puna Ford for joining us in the previous segment. Meanwhile, there's a position group that is of some concern all of a sudden. Much like last season, the running backs. Felt like it was just a deep, deep class or deep room, right? You're just like, well, how's anybody going to get touches? You got Carson. You bring in Carlos Hyde, who ran for over 1,000 yards last year. You draft a fourth-round running back in DJ Dallas. You got Travis Homer. And then Penny's going to be back at some point, we assume. So it was more about who's going to go. And now basically everybody is dealing with some level of injury except for DJ Dallas. Chris Carson's got the midfoot sprain. Carlos Hyde's got a hamstring issue. You've got a bruised knee for Travis Homer. Obviously Penny is not there. So you're one healthy back at this point who is not going into this weekend with any health concerns that we're aware of.
is DJ Dallas. Mm-hmm. And yet you don't really have the option of, hey, we're going to pull this guy off the practice squad. They don't have anybody there. And bringing somebody in from the outside, you're not going to be able to get through the COVID protocol in time to have them ready for the weekend. This could be an interesting – now, hopefully, you know, Homer can play or Carson can play. I'm not expecting it, but we'll see what happens. But that's a tough situation to be in.
It is, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm thinking about with the Seahawks bringing in defensive people, they might need help at running back, you know, at some point. So this worries me. This is concerning to me, and especially the Carson thing. It just brings to mind that guy, remember when Daniel Jones, Mora said that he ran out of his body's ability to, how'd you put that, Mora? That he ran too fast for his body or something like that?
Yeah, it seemed like he got going faster than his body actually was allowed to go. Feet were like, yeah, yeah.
His feet put
this
the
isn't
brakes
happening.
On.
I feel like that's what happens with Chris Carson. He just plays, he plays too hard. I mean, he's just a rugged guy. I mean, how many times did was he carrying tacklers on his back? Yeah. I mean, he always gets an extra at least three, if not, you know, five, six, seven. And, you know, that mid-foot sprain can turn into that Liz Frank thing where, you know, and that's where it comes from is just, you know, he's carrying all those guys on his back and he's just a hard runner. And I don't think you can convince him to play any differently. And it's just
probably
the way
hard
he is.
Once all the adrenaline's going, the ball's in his hand, yeah. The idea that he's going to be consciously thinking, I'm not going to run as hard. It feels like your instincts just take over at that point, I would assume. Here's Pete Carroll, Jim. Talking about giving some updates on Homer and Carson here.
Chris has like we said, he has a midfoot sprain, something there that we could see. So we just have to go. It's just a week to week. We'll see what happens. We don't know. So he was real determined to say I can go with it, but we won't know until you know the end of the week for sure. On Homer's got he has a bruised knee, not a knee injury, so that's something he has a chance to recover from.
And then one more.
Real quick. Homer, to me, I don't worry about that one so much because, you know, just a knee injury, you can get ice on that. I mean, he banged his knee, probably. The only thing is with him, I mean, he's great with blitz pickup and stuff like that. But, you know, he also he's had a couple of rough runs where, you know, when he's going lateral. And, you know, I don't want to say it's kind of like a Collins type of thing where everything breaks down just whenever he gets the ball. But a couple of times that has happened. He's a much better north-south runner. But, I mean, I think he's a good player. But, I mean, you go from Carson to Travis Homer.
Yeah, we don't need to be relying on Travis Homer.
It's a pretty,
that's not a good spot to be in.
Yeah, that's a pretty steep fall right there. And that's nothing against Travis Homer, of course.
And Jim, one more here and then you jump in. But Pete Carroll, just talking about what we brought up about the COVID protocol and talking about how unlikely it is they can get outside help for this week.
This is really difficult to do that, to get guys in here in time where they could actually practice and have a chance to even, you know, be familiar with taking the handoff, you know. You know, we have some things that we can do if we need to. We'll look, you know, we're going to take it one day at a time and see if our guys can get back and who can get back with a couple of creative thoughts going forward that we'll keep in-house for now.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to get creative because, you know, Carson, there's been some good reports. I don't know if it came from his agent or what, but maybe he's going to try and play this week. You certainly aren't going to get him anywhere close to 80 or 90%. It's always amazing to me how my wife will leave and go to Costco and my kids will just take off and leave me with the puppy.
But it's weird.
And so then
you have a fenced yard.
I do. I've got a hidden fence. Yeah.
Oh,
and I put them outside and they still want to come in and yeah, but, he's being particularly annoying right now. But, you know, so I was thinking, you know, if Carson had been healthy and if Carlos Hyde was good, that maybe they should go to a little bit more ball control to help that defense out, keep him off the field a little bit. But now I'm going, well, they don't really have any running backs they can rely on. Maybe they should let Russ cook even more than he has been this season already. So I'm not sure what they're going to do. Or you want to hear option C? Maybe DJ Dallas will have a huge game. I say that just because they have a lot of hope in him, drafting him in the fourth round. And I saw what San Francisco's done. You'd think that after they lose Mostert and Coleman, that, boy, they'd be down to their third-string back, and they'd have a heck of a time getting a running game going, but that wasn't the case at New England. Jeff Wilson Jr., before he got hurt, ran for over 100 yards, and then Jermichael Hasty came in, the four-string guy, and did a good job too. So maybe DJ Dallas will have a big game for Seattle on Sunday.
Is that Sky or River?
It's Sky.
Oh, okay. By the way, people texting in Marshawn's name as if he doesn't have to go through COVID protocol. He has to go through the same protocol as anybody else, and I don't know what kind of condition he's in or if he even has a desire to play. But I know we all love who he was, but the idea he's not going to be able to get in and play this week. Okay, just to, I hate to put that fire out, but that is what it is. And I agree with you. Maybe DJ Dallas gets a chance to shine. I mean, we saw a couple of runs where he looked like he had some shake to him. He looked like there's some real potential and possibility, but, I mean, we're talking about two runs, so who knows? I did not like what I saw on the blocking last week where he just, for whatever reason, took a left turn and the guy that he was should have been occupying sacked Russell. But
he's a rookie.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to see him get a, you know, substantial amount of work back there. And maybe he does have a bust-out game because I doubt the 49ers are scheming to stop him. I don't know that there's much to watch in the way of what he does, so maybe he could surprise him.
Yeah, I liked what we saw in Miami as far as the run, but you know, it's just a small sample size, of course. And then, yeah, I mean, I think I would just say probably don't overreact as a fan to him blowing that blocking assignment, but, you know, he is a rookie, but I liked him getting the ball. He seems to have good instincts. But, yeah, you don't want to have to rely on that. So, I mean, look, Chris Carson absolutely is the answer. He is the answer to their running game. And I think even if there's not good blocking, which there has been, I mean, mm-hmm. the offensive line has played really well. You know, and I was just thinking about that play where we talked about it yesterday where Dwayne Brown's pulling around the outside. I mean, they have a lot of options. And, you know, they've looked really good up front. So it's too bad if – but, you know, Carlos Hyde, he looks pretty good. If he could have got out of a couple of, you know, little ankle tackles and busted him, it would have helped. I feel like Carson would have gotten out of a couple of those.
But I'd be fine with Hyde if he's the guy, but he's got a hamstring he's dealing with. So
right.
We don't know what's going to happen with him. People are texting in other names of – you know, hey, is CJ Pro size of it? Yeah, he is available. The Texans released him, but same situation. You got to go through the protocol. They're not going to be able to be active for the weekend. So we're talking about going into this 49er game. Your fingers crossed that you're going to have more than one healthy back. Otherwise, luckily, they have been letting Russell cook. They're used to throwing the ball, though. They'll have to rely on his arm. All right. If you guys have questions for the professor, you can start texting those in right now to 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Talk to John Clayton next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.